been studying today. And it's going to give some practical advice. And I'm going to try to go from verses 1 through 10. Don't have a title, don't have a subject. We're just going to take these verses as they're written to the Galatians and get some practical living helps from me and you. Verse 1, Galatians 6:1. Brethren, and I want you to hold your Bible open the whole time tonight because I'm going to be going back and forth to these scriptures. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now there's a great verse. And there's a verse that every one of us ought to try to practice. And the verse is basically saying this. When we have a Christian friend, somebody in our church who falls into some sort of problem, it says fault. It don't say sin. I'm sure it refers to both. Confess your faults. Faults and sins are not always the same thing. But obviously it's a failure, some kind of failure. It says that when that happens, that we are to restore one, a person like that. Yeah, just a little bit, Brother Mike. Seemed like I went down there a minute ago. In the spirit of meekness. Example. Alright? A young person. Say they're coming up here, and young people are bad for them. They'll come up here and sit on the front row, get on fire for God, maybe be a witness for the Lord, do something, you know, da-da-da-da-da, go real good for a while, and then they'll mess up. Do something crazy. Do something awful. Well, the immediate response for a lot of people is, I can't believe them. That's sorry, good for nothing, teenage. Why don't you just get up there and rebuke them, Brother Danny? Just make them feel like a dog. Talk awful to them. Point them out in front of the whole church. Call them out for their sin. You know, that's the exact opposite wrong way to handle a situation like that. And what he's basically saying is that we are to beware of having a self-righteous, pharisaical attitude toward those that have sinned. It does not say compromise with sin. It does not say go easy on sin. It does not say pet sin. That's the first thing people say. Well, I don't believe you're supposed to pet. No, you're listening to the devil if you think it says that. Nobody said that. Nobody believes that in their right mind. We're not talking about the sin. We're talking about the sinner, the person. It's one of the hardest things you ever tried to do in your life is love that sinner but hate their sin. That's a hard thing to do. Now, come on, let's be honest tonight. Isn't that hard to... We get it all mixed in together to where we start hating the person. And that's hard to do, to hate their sin but yet love them. And that basically what the Bible's saying is, if I have a friend of mine who lives in Charlotte... And I don't. I'm just said that. Come right out of clear blue. If I had a friend of mine that lives in Charlotte, and somebody called me and said, well, your buddy was out drunk last night, and he's left his wife and everything else, my response should be, get me his phone number. When's he going out? I'm coming to Charlotte to see him. And I should knock on his door, and I should say, listen, I heard you're having problems. Come on, man. Let's get this thing right with God. Come on, let's get up. My response should not be, bless God, these hypocrites claim they're a preacher. I can't believe what they done. You know, listen, we're supposed to preach against drunkenness. We're supposed to preach against doing wrong. But when a person fails, we're supposed to restore them in the spirit of meekness. Notice that verse says, ye which are spiritual. Ye which are spiritual. That sort of implies that people who really come down hard on people sometimes are not spiritual. And they claim they're the most spiritual. Usually the people that are the hardest on a person for messing up are hypocrites. Not always. Not always. But usually. Usually, I've met some of these guys. Oh my goodness. No mercy for nobody. If you've ever messed up one time in your life, cut your head off. You're gone. Usually, it's because they got a sin in their heart and they can't stand it when somebody, quote, gets away with something and what they wish is out there doing. That's awful to say, but that's true. And the Bible said that we're supposed to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Why? Considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. What that means is, you better be real careful how you judge other people, because that same thing's liable to come your way one of these days. And you might not do as good a job as they did, facing the same thing, same circumstances, same situation. Don't you get me wrong. I'm not saying just let everything go. I'm not saying that. That's for the pulpit. When I get up here and preach, I'm supposed to lamb blast every sin there is. We hate sin. God hates sin. It's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. But my attitude toward the sinner is, God loves you, I love you, and I'm going to help you get right if I can. Some people can't have it's easy to go too far either way. Some people just compromise and say, all right, it don't matter, and that's wrong. And other people say, bless God, you ought to be killed, and that's wrong. We ought to consider ourselves, lest we also be tempted. I've been pastoring a church now, as you know, since I was a kid myself, 22. I'm just 23 years old, and I've done this all of my adult life. And I noticed that people are real hard on people, but when the same thing happens to them, they want everybody to go easy on them. I know I've seen, nobody in mind when I say this, I've seen ladies, their daughter get pregnant. Their daughter get pregnant, and before she's married, and some of the ladies will be real hard on her. I can't believe that. Boy, she's a failure. Blah, 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 blah. You know, just real hard on that girl. But when it same thing happens to that one's daughter, they'll say, well, she's a good girl. She really is. She ain't no little sleaze like that other one was. You know, a good rule to follow is judge other people's kids like you'd want them to judge your kids. Now, the truth is, ain't none of us, our kids ain't perfect. None of us. My girls ain't perfect. Sometimes, you know, I brag on my girls, and some people get the idea that I think my girls are perfect. I don't. They're all three here tonight. They ain't in here, so I can talk about them. I don't think they're perfect. I wish there's ever one more spiritual, more on fire for God, more so. I do. I wish I was. I wish you was. See, I don't think my girls are perfect. And if you think your kids are perfect, you're just a nut. You're a nut. Your kid ain't perfect. They're a long way from it. How could you produce a perfect kid? That's impossible. Perfect kids ain't going to come from none of us. We're so far from it. But I hope that you judge other people's kids the same judgment you judge your own kids with. And so tonight, that verse says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore. What does that word restore mean? Look it up in your dictionary. Restore. It means put it right back in its original condition. That's what it means. Look it up. Ain't you ever seen these guys take these old cars, and restore them? Man, they shine them things, paint them, make them look exactly like they did when they come off of the assembly line. Restore means to put right. I've heard people say this. Well, if a person ever does wrong, they can be forgiven, but they can never be what they once was. That's not true. That ain't biblical. There's always a scar. Sin always leaves a scar. But to say you were here, but now you can only be here, that you're only like 90% forgiven or something like that, is a false doctrine. It said restore. Put them right back where they was. That's what the verse means. That's what it said. I didn't write it. I'm just preaching it to you. It said restore such one. If your daughter, if your son, if your husband, if your wife, if your co-worker is overtaken in a fault, restore them. Put them right back where they were, considering yourself, lest you be tempted. And don't ever think the devil can't hit you. Say, well, bless. I've heard people say, bless God, I'd never do that. I'll never do it. I wouldn't say that if I was you. Don't never say you'd never do something. There's a lot of things I don't think I'd ever do. But this old flesh is rotten and wicked. And you don't know what you're doing. Wrong place, wrong time, wrong circumstances. The devil hit you just right. So that's what that verse means. Now, anybody want to ask a question on that verse? That's a good verse. Good verse to live by the way. Judge others like you'd want them to judge you if the same thing was going on at your house. Amen? Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes. I think so. They do me. I think evil spirits can get on you, mess with you. He sure can. I know he can get in people. You pastor church a little while, you'll see him. People do absolutely opposite in the way they're supposed to. Evil spirits, yes. All right, let's move on to the next verse. Verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's a good verse. Why don't every one of us start trying to do that tonight? Bear ye one another's burdens. Ladies, bear ye one another's burden. If you know a woman in our church who has a burden, share that burden with her. And let her know. Say, hey, I'm praying about that for you. That situation. I'm praying about it. Instead of just gossiping about it, men, same way. Let's take some examples. Let's take some examples. Bo, and I assume he's watching me right now, and I hope it's all right if I talk about you, brother. Is it? Okay. He sits right here, and he'd love to be here tonight. That man's carrying a load. That man, I cannot imagine being in his shoes. So my job and our job as Christians, we ought to stand with somebody like that. Say, look, I'm here for you. I'm praying for you, brother. I'm not, instead of just walking right by and saying, I got my problems and everything. You know, he'll have to deal with his own problems. I mean, bear ye one another's burden. He's carrying a burden. He's got decisions to make about how much chemo to take and how far to let this go and where do you draw the line. He asked me one day, he said, Brother Danny, he said, what would you do? I said, I don't know what I'd do, brother. I think if I knew that I had cancer or something, leukemia or whatever, and I knew it was going to kill me, I think I'd just say, give me something for pain and let me enjoy as much of life as I can rather than just stretch it out and be miserable. I don't know. I think I would, but I don't know that. You don't know till you're in that situation. But I'm telling you, that man's carrying a burden. And the Bible said, bear ye one another's burdens. If you know somebody in here, this man here, John, that hit the altar the other night, just lost his sister. He's carrying a burden. And Jason there is helping him carry that burden. Bear ye one another's burden. That's what the Christian life's all about, folks. We're not supposed to be cold-hearted towards each other. We're supposed to be tender-hearted towards each other. I'm telling you, I go to churches, you got people that won't even speak to each other. And I'm going to tell you right now, I love you, and I don't have nobody in mind when I say this, but if there's people in here you won't speak to, you got a problem. You got a problem. You need to get your heart right with God. You do. You say, I don't know. You don't know what they've done. I don't care what they've done to you. You're a Christian. You're a Christian. Ain't no worse than what you've done to Jesus, and He'll fool you. If the Lord will fool me, I ain't got no right to reject nobody else. So the Bible says, bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Listen. Living for Jesus ain't putting on a tie and getting a haircut. And that ain't living for Jesus. Insurance men dress like this. Politicians dress like this. We got a bunch of Baptists think, boy, look at me, bless God, I'm right with God. I got on a tie. I think you ought to. I think you ought to dress your best. All of that kind of stuff. That ain't what makes you right with God. But bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Show you care about somebody. Show you care about somebody. I tell you, my heart, I ain't the best Christian in the world, but I care about people. And if you're around me long enough, you know I do care about people. And I feel sorry for people. I feel sorry if people's done me wrong. I do. Because I think, well, bless their heart, they don't understand, and they've went through this and been through that. My mom was like that. Mom felt sorry for everybody. It didn't matter who you mentioned. Mom said, I feel sorry for them. She could find something in their life. You know, maybe they had a hard time growing up, or maybe they come from a broken home, or maybe they, you know, had to work harder. And you know, the Bible says that we ought to bear one another's burdens. If a lady has a burden in here, some of you ladies crowd around her and say, look, we're going to help you bear this burden. We're going to help you. We're going to pray around you. And we're going to, every day at 12 o'clock or something, at our lunch break, we're going to bow our heads and we're going to pray. We're going to help you bear your burden. One time, I was going through a real, real hard time, and we was having these all-night prayer meetings. Brother Jason probably was there, a lot of them, I'm sure. And I used to get, on Saturday night, we'd have prayer meeting in our church, and I'd always have all the young men get around me, and I'd lay on the floor right here, and a bunch of them get around me and put their hands on me and pray for me. And you know what? That helped me. Just to know I had some people lifting me up. Because sometimes when you're up here, sometimes I feel, I'm not whining to you tonight. Don't think I'm whining. I don't whine, I hope. But sometimes I feel like it's me against the world. And the churches and the Christians. I feel like I'm fighting everything all by myself sometimes. And you shouldn't feel like that, but I do. Sometimes I feel like, Lord, have mercy. The odds are insurmountable. I'm fighting the world, the devil, half the church people, other Christians, preachers. And I ain't nobody on my side, Lord. You ever feel like that? And then the Lord says, I'm on your side. And that's a majority. But still, you get to think, it sure is good to have somebody say once in a while, put their arm around and say, hey, I'm with you. I'm praying for you. It helps me as a preacher for somebody to just come once in a while and say, preacher, I love you. I got a bunch of texts on Thanksgiving Day. Bunch of them. And I appreciate them. One of them said, thank God for you and our church. Thank God you're my pastor. Thank God. That helped me. It helps you when you know somebody's helped bear your burden. Therefore, it said, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Can anybody give us an illustration or want to about somebody helping you bear a burden and it helped you? If you want to, you feel free to speak up right now before I go to that next verse. All right, verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Boy, isn't that the truth? Man thinks himself to be something. We say it like this. Boy, he really thinks he's something. Amen. You ever know anybody like, man, they think they are, you know, all that in a bag of chips. You know, so, I mean, they think they are just hot stuff. Oh, brother. You know, that's what, if a man thinks himself, here's this old nasty man that has to take a bath every day so he won't stink. And everything, putting on a bunch of expensive clothes and walking in like, I am something special. No, you're not. You're not. I'm not. I think we dishonor God in our day and time with all these Christian celebrities. I don't think there is such thing as a Christian celebrity. I think it's all right to honor where honor's due. I think it's all right to get, but buddy, we got, you know, all these places, they just about worship. Preachers, singers, some of these singers. I don't know where we get this stuff of, well, I don't know if I should say that or not. I ain't got nobody in mind when I say that. What's a Christian concert? What in the world is a concert? That's the wrong kind of terminology. We meet for church to worship God and honor the Lord. And here's Dr. the Great so-and-so and the Dr. so-and-so. And we all stand and clap when he comes in. I'm not against giving honor where honor's due. The Bible says to. But there's something wrong with our generation. We make celebrities out of people, and you're not supposed to do that. There's nobody that deserves our praise and our worship but the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care how good a preacher he is. I don't care how good a singer. I don't care how big a church or how many hit number one songs they've had on the charts. Nobody ought to be worshipped. Lord, I've seen these things on TV. I don't know what they are. They call them Christian concerts. They'll have old Carmen or somebody get there, and people are screaming and going wild. And I bet you high-film people wouldn't witness to their neighbor about Jesus Christ. That ain't right. Bible said if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. The truth is, every one of us are just a bunch of old sorry sinners that ought to be in hell. And don't ever think of yourself above that right there. You get in big trouble when you think you're a little cut above everybody else or on a higher spiritual plane. I've known some people 25 years, ain't never heard them one time say they're wrong, or never heard them one time say they've done anything wrong or go to the altar. Ain't something wrong, buddy. Ain't something bad wrong. Something wrong with somebody that won't never admit they're wrong. Bad wrong. When you're wrong, admit it. I've heard people say, I'll never admit it in front of my kids. They'll think I'm not. They already know it, man. You might as well just admit it. Ain't that right? Well, anyway, I didn't mean to get off on all that. You deceive yourself when you think you're something. David said, I'm a worm. Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Are you better than Saul, Paul? Amen? All them Bible writers, they said, we're nothing. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm undone. You better than Isaiah? Are you better than Paul? Are you better than David? Are you better than Abraham? Are you better than Job? He said, I abhor myself in sackcloth and ashes. I mean, we ain't better than those people. Lord have mercy. If they come back nowadays and seen the mess we live in, they'd have a heart attack. So don't think you're something. Keep yourself in the right perspective. Don't take yourself too seriously. And don't believe everybody that flatters you. He that flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. I'm leery of people that are always bragging on me. I used to know this guy all the time. He'd come in, oh, he's the greatest preacher. He'd embarrass me to death. I'd be sitting over here, he'd say, the greatest young preacher in America, Danny. And I'd sit there saying, Lord, dude, is that true? And I know it wasn't true because I knowed I was a sorry dog. But you, so that man wasn't my friend. He was not my friend. I don't think there's anything wrong with honoring God's man. When they come here, I say, I praise God for John Mitchell, Frankie, all of them. I'll honor them, but you better be careful about exalting a man or yourself above everybody else. That's a mistake. That's a mistake. Brag on the Lord. Verse 4, but let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. I mean, you prove yourself. Live for God. Don't go off your reputation. Young preachers are awful bad for that. They say, Brother so-and-so and Brother so-and-so, and I follow Brother so-and-so, and I'm a so-and-so follower, and I read all so-and-so's books, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I prayed 8 hours, and I done this, and I fasted so many days, and you just probably wiped out any reward you might have got for it if you're proud of it and brag about it. Now look at verse 5. This is interesting. Verse 5 and verse 2 seem to contradict each other. In verse 2 it says, bear you one another's burden. In verse 5 it said, every man shall bear his own burden. That's not a contradiction. That means I'm bearing my own burden, but at the same time I'm helping my brother bear his burden. I'm not supposed to just be concerned about my burden. I'm supposed to be concerned about your burden. And I do carry y'all's burdens. I pray for some of y'all today. I pray for some of y'all by name today that are having problems, marriage problems, whatever. And I've called your name out. And I pray, if there's people in our church having problems, I try to help bear their burden. I'm supposed to. I'm a pastor. But even if I'm not, I'm supposed to. Verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now all that simply means is, if you get fed, you help the person who feeds you. A preacher, a teacher, even a TV preacher, a radio preacher, anything. Give them something. Give them an offering. Help them out a little bit. Be a blessing. That's what communicate means there in this scripture. Communicate. Do something good for them. He said, man, you feeding me spiritual things, I feed you carnal things. I think if a man, I'm not saying this because I'm a preacher, I'm saying this because I'm teaching the Bible. If a man studies and puts his heart into his ministry and feeds the church and they grow, then the church is supposed to feed him. He feeds them spiritually. They put food on his table. And they put a roof on his head because he's feeding them what they need spiritually. That's what that verse is saying. Now, here's what I want to get to. Verse 7 and 8. This is what I want to get to. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Now, that verse of Scripture is one of the most well-known, often quoted, preached verses in the Bible. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. I've preached it many, many, many times. Well, that's a scary verse. But that verse should not just scare us. It should also comfort us. 9 times out of 10, when a preacher refers to that verse, all we think it's talking about is, boy, you get out here and do something wrong, God will knock your brains out. You get out here and do something, you'll reap what you sow. 9 times out of 10. But it ain't just saying that. It is saying that, but it ain't just saying that. It's saying you do good and you serve God and read your Bible and pray and witness and go to church faithfully, and you'll reap that too. I believe that. I believe if you'll sow good things, God, you'll reap good things. You sow righteousness in your life, bless the Lord, you'll reap some righteousness. I believe right now, every day of my life, I am reaping some good things that I sowed back when I was in my 20s. I believe that. I believe that I'm reaping some bad things that I sowed. And I believe I'm reaping some good things that I sowed. You put whatever you put in your garden of life, that's what's going to come up. You know, if a man comes out here and he plants corn. See him in the summertime, spring? Corn. 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 Cover it up. Pray for rain. Rain comes. Up comes what? Tomatoes. Nope. Corn. Corn's coming up. Corn's coming up. I can't say, I believed with all my heart it was going to be taters. And it's corn. No. I don't care how much you believe. Whatever you sow, that you'll reap. Are you listening to me tonight, y'all? Whatever you sow, they say some people go out and sow their wild oats and then come in and pray for a crop failure. That ain't the way it works. It ain't whatever you sow, that shall also reap. I was talking about my girls a while ago. I've been very, 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 very blessed. Now, one of them might go crazy tomorrow, but I've been very, very, very blessed. I know a preacher right now who has, let's see, 3 girls, maybe 4. And it's 1 or 2 of them is driving him crazy. I know another preacher right now who has 3 girls. One of them's driving him crazy. Won't stay home, running away, run off with a boyfriend, everything else. And sometimes I think, thank God mine at least goes to church, thank God. And my mind goes back to all the time they were little. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of nights. I'd get them down and I'd make them. I'd have to brush your teeth, get to bed. I'd say, all right, everybody, I'd get down and kneel down like this and take my Bible, and they'd all 3 lay on the bed, and I'd tell them a Bible story, and I tried my best to make that Bible be real to them. I tried, and I paid out of my pocket for them to go to a Christian school their whole life. And that ain't easy to do. A single parent with kids in a Christian school, y'all try it sometime. That ain't easy. I'm not tooting my horn. I'm just saying I sowed it. And right now, let me tell you the difference between Christian school and public school. When my kids hear Jonathan Edwards and Hudson Taylor and some of them, they know their stories. They might mention Jonathan Edwards in the public school, but they don't mention all those great missionaries and talk about David Brainerd and what they did. They learn that in a Christian school. Christian education is 9,000 miles ahead of public education. So it ain't even no contest. And you might say, well, they have better facilities and all that. Maybe so. But the proof, brother, is in the kids. I heard a man tell me one time, they said, all them kids that are homeschooled are weirdos. The only ones that are weirdos is the ones that have weird parents. Weird parents make weird kids. That's right. And there are a lot of them, I'll admit. But at least they don't teach them to come from monkeys. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. I sowed it and sowed it and sowed it and sowed it and sowed it. And now I get to reap some of it. Get to reap some of it. I noticed old Dax the other Sunday. He was sitting right over here, and I don't notice him that much. Usually I don't even notice him when I was preaching. And I just happened to notice he was right on the edge of his seat, I guess. He soaks it up. I don't know about the other ones, but he soaks it up. He's got a little spirituality in him, I believe. And he'll soak it up. And I thought, thank God. Thank God. Put it in him, Lord. Put it in him, Lord. Amen. Put it in him, Lord. Because you don't know, by the time them kids are 20 years old, if you're not bisexual, you'll be a strange person by the time they're 20. It's already getting like that. Some of you parents need to realize, well, your kids, every day, that's all the girls hug and kiss girls at the parties, at the school dances. The boys dare them to, and they do it. And they say, well, I'm not a lesbian. I just, you know, well, that's what is a lesbian? I thought that's what it was. But anyway, we're living in a wicked world, buddy. And buddy, we better sow some good things in our garden if we want some good things to come up. You can't just say, it'll be all right, it'll be all right, it'll be all right, it'll be all right, it'll be all right. Discord, fussing, liquor, drugs, alcohol, premarital sex, all that, it's going to be all right. And then one day say, why can't I reap something good? Whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. That's an infallible law of God. Just like this. Here's an infallible law, gravity. You can do that 10 million times and it'll go down every time. That's just how sure it is you reap what you sow. Can't miss. It's like the law of gravity. It's one of God's fixed laws. Good or bad. Good or bad. Whatever you sow good. All them times we went street preaching. All them times we give out track. We'll reap the good out of that one of these days. All them times he messed around and done something he wasn't supposed to, you'll reap the bad out of that one of these days. Even if you're forgiven, you still reap what you sow. That's an awful thought, isn't it? Somebody told me, they said, well, as long as you're forgiven, you don't have... No, that's not true. The Lord will go easy on you, but if I go out here tonight and I get backslid and I get in a fight, the guy pulls a knife out on me and whacks me down through here, you know, and it cuts an artery in my... and I bust him in the mouth, you know, and we go to court and have a big fight, and it messes up my arm, and they have to amputate my arm. And then I come back and I repent and I beg God to forgive me, and I beg the Lord to forgive me, and I beg Him to forgive me. He can forgive me, and I can be just as clean as pure snow, but I'm gonna miss that arm. It's gonna be like I ain't gonna grow a new arm, right? I ain't gonna be able to play guitar. I ain't going to be able to play basketball as good. I can do it with my left hand if I have to. I ain't going to be able to do a lot of things. Change gears, drive. See, you reap it. You reap it. I ain't going to grow no arm just because I ask forgiveness. And that's awful. We don't like to think about that, folks. But there's consequences when we do wrong. There really is. Now, I know God forgives and God don't hold it against us and God never brings it up again, but you reap what you sow. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing. You keep going visiting. You keep working with them bus kids. You keep teaching that class. You keep singing. You keep reading your Bible. For we shall reap if we faint not. Anybody got a question on that right there? If you don't just give up and quit. I assume. Wouldn't y'all agree with that? If you don't just give up and quit. If we faint not. If I just say, I don't know. Let's just say I said, okay, I've had it. I've had it. I've put up with this all these years. Nothing's ever worked out for me. I've been cursed from day one ever since I started preaching. I've had trouble every 5 minutes of my life. I'm just giving up and I just went out and lived wicked the rest of my life. I wouldn't get to reap all of the good things that I would have if I'd have kept on. And I don't know about them rewards and stuff. I know people believe that different. It does say that if you give somebody a cup of cold water, you will not lose your reward. Some people believe you'll still get your rewards even if you do live your last 10 years backslid. Other people believe you get no rewards. Other people believe it just counts for the time you were backslid. I guess we'll ask Dr. Holland or Dr. Buchanan or one of y'all about that. I don't really know.
We were talking about the judgment seat of Christ and said he shall suffer loss. He shall lose reward. I mean, he said he will lose reward. He'll suffer loss.
Yeah.
There's
definitely a loss of rewards, but does that only apply for the time you was backslid? Do you still get them rewards that you would have got when you was living right? I don't know about that. I've heard it preached both ways. I know preachers that believe it both ways. Because it said they'll in no wise lose their reward if he gives a cup of coal. Whatever you do in good faith and you're right, it's laid up there and ain't nothing can touch it. And whatever you do when you're wrong, you lose rewards that you would have got. I don't know about that. That might not be right. I don't know. Anybody want to straighten me out on that? Nobody want to straighten me out on that. Maybe I don't need straightening out.
What does it mean when it talks about
the
fire?
Yeah.
When it comes out on the other side?
Yep. At the judgment, like he's talking about, the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians 3. Yep. Yeah, he'll take all your works, throw it in the fire. And what comes through, you get a reward for. And what burns up, you just wasted. That's wasted years in life. Maybe that's the way it is. What I'm saying is, if you backslid, I don't know if you lose completely all your reward you ever would have got anyway. You do lose your place as reigning in the millennium. If we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. You might miss out on your spot ruling with the Lord in the millennium for 1,000 years. But let me read this one verse, and I gotta let y'all go. Verse 10: As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. There's a good rule to go by. Just do good to people, especially to them who have the household of faith. Especially. That's what I want y'all to do. Do good to everybody. Be good to everybody. Be good to everybody. That's a good rule to go by, ain't it? Don't say, well, they don't deserve it. Well, you don't either. I don't either. Just go ahead and be good to everybody. Let God do the judging. God do the punishing. God do the dealing. And the Lord do the deciding who needs what. You just be good to people. Be good to people. One thing I'd like for our church to have a testimony of, that we're good to people. We ought to be just good to people.
Right.
Amen. Just on normal, everyday. I mean, open the door for somebody. Help somebody carry out their Christmas presents. I mean, if you see somebody on the side of the road, stop to help them. I'm not saying a lady should do that, but men, stop to help them. Lord have mercy. Somebody broke down. It might be you out there. It might be me out there one of these days. Be good to people. Be good to people. My neighbor lives down below me. I didn't know the woman's name. His wife, only 36 years old, died of a heart attack the other day. Only 36. The night of the election. I about did too. But the night of the election, she suffered a heart attack. And they had ambulances and everything down there. And somebody sent me a text, said, what's going on, Hoppy Tom? And I went down there, and it was sad. Only 36 years old. And a few days later, I went off somewhere. I think we went to Gatlinburg that weekend or something. And I was gone. And then that day after I come back, I stopped and saw him. And he come to the door. I've not talked to this man. I've tried to talk to him. But he sort of keeps to himself. And I said, man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear about your wife. And I pulled out a little money and gave it to him. And I said, here, get you some groceries or something. I'm not saying that to try to make you impress you. I'm just saying, if the Lord puts it on your heart, be good to people. Just be good to people. You ain't going to go wrong. You will not go wrong. A lot of people are hard these days. I ain't helping nobody. Nobody ever helped me. That ain't the way we're supposed to live.
No, sir.
We're supposed to help people. Be good to people. God will bless you. You will reap it. You'll reap it. There's somebody here tonight needing help, and I'm fixing to help them right now, and just as soon as I say amen, and send it to a lady needing money for medicine, really, really bad, prescription medicine. Do good to people. Do good to people. God will bless you for it. Okay. All right. Don't miss Sunday now, y'all. Be here for